This morning's scripture is Luke 10, 25 through 37. Please stand as this is a gospel reading. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
All right, well, please be seated. Our scripture today is one of the more familiar scriptures of all time. It's so well known that the term Good Samaritan has made its way into everyday language. We call someone a Good Samaritan when they do something really nice for someone for basically nothing in return. There are even Good Samaritan laws that protect the general public from litigation when a stranger helps someone in need. This wonderful parable of Jesus has become so familiar to each one of us that I think it's easy to forget really how scandalous it really was to Luke's original audience. In our scripture lesson, Luke says a lawyer tested Jesus with a question. A lawyer was a religious leader in Jesus' day, well-versed in the religious law of the Old Testament. He asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Well, many believe that the scribe was asking Jesus this question not because he was legitimately seeking an answer about eternal life, but because he somehow wanted to trap Jesus into an answer that would get him into trouble. He was basically showing off. So Jesus asked him a question of his own. He says, "What is your reading of the law?" And in verse 27, the scribe quotes Deuteronomy 6:5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And then a little bit later in Leviticus, there's another scripture, "And your neighbor is yourself." This guy was quoting scripture. Jesus said in response, "You've given the right answer. Do this, and you shall live." Now, this is where the expert in the religious law should have stopped and went on his way. But in order to justify himself, the scripture says in verse 29, he asked, "And who is my neighbor?" Again, maybe trying to trap Jesus into saying an answer that would get him into trouble. Really, the only way around you can answer this question, it would get you into some trouble, generally. At least for me, I'm not good on top of my feet. So if I were Jesus, I would have gotten into trouble here. He was probably hoping that Jesus would have given him an answer, that would maybe trap Jesus or would get him, maybe even get the religious leader off the hook. His hope was maybe that Jesus would give a definition of neighbor that was so narrow that he'd get by without loving everybody that he wanted to. There'd be a loophole somewhere. But instead, Jesus told the parable that all of us know so well, a man who was walking from Jerusalem to Jericho. Interestingly, the Greek word that Jesus used here in Greek is translated man in most translations is generic. I mean, it's gender neutral. It means anybody. Some unknown person was taking a trip. It could be anybody. Jesus's point is it could be you or me. We know that he was probably a fellow Jewish person because he had visited Jerusalem, and this was the home of the Jewish faith and where the temple was. This was a dangerous route, as I said with the kids. The road to Jerusalem to Jericho was very dangerous. It was a terrain drop of like over 2,000 feet in 18 miles. This was like hiking down a very dangerous mountain path. It was windy and curvy. It would be like you're in Rocky Mountain National Park and going down a really rocky terrain. It was dangerous because you could have slipped and fallen off a cliff. I mean, if you broke an ankle, you're stuck. And then also there was a lot of robbers and bandits that were around the corner. So the whole thing, to walk 18 miles in this kind of terrain was life-threatening. It was dangerous. There were a lot of twists and turns. You couldn't see around the bend. There was a great chance that you would be robbed, and if something happened, you would have been left for dead. This is what happened to this traveler. You know, he was robbed, he was beaten, he was stripped, he was taken of everything. He was left in a ditch. Passersby included the deeply religious and the highly regarded, a priest and a Levite who knew the law, but they passed by on the other side for various reasons. It wasn't until someone from Samaria helped this wounded man, bandaged him up, took him to a motel, allowed him to be cared for. And Jesus asked in verse 36, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell at the hands of the robbers? The lawyer responded, the one who showed him mercy. To which Jesus replied, go and do likewise. Well, I'm sure that when Luke's original audience would have heard this for the first time, you could have picked their jaws off the floor. The Samaritans were despised by the Jews. The feeling was mutual. Therefore, it was a long-standing ethnic dispute that goes back to the Old Testament. And we know this very evidently, that Jews and Samaritans really, really despised each other. I could maybe even say hated each other, because remember there's another time in the gospel where Jesus was rejected in a Samaritan village and the disciples offered to burn the place. So, they prayed for fire to rain down upon it. So that's how bitter the dispute was between Jewish folks and the Samaritans. And yet it was the Samaritan traveler who they would have least expect, not the priest or the Levite, who knew the law of God and should have helped. Now, I think there are a lot of times when we demonize the priest and the Levite, the people who, you know, should have known better. You know, we don't really know completely the valid reasons why they may not have helped. I mean, this was very dangerous. How many times have we seen somebody on the road and thought, this is too dangerous, you know? The Torah, and in fact, they were also following Scripture, because the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, commanded them to not have any contact with blood or a dead body. They would be unclean. So they were really following precisely the letter of church law. They crossed their I's, they crossed their T's and dotted their I's. I always mess up that when I say that. They crossed their T's and they dotted their I's. And one could argue that they were upstanding church people. They wanted to follow God's word, and they did. They avoided contact with the blood and corpse, as was prescribed in the Old Testament scriptures. They wanted and they sought to follow God's word. But, well, to quote one of my favorite religious authors, her name is Barbara Brown Taylor. Some of you have heard me say this line before. She said that sometimes Christians, in our pursuit of being faithful to God, can sometimes make an idol of the words of scripture instead of following God that they point to. And I think this is what happened to the priest and the Levite. They followed the letter of the law to a T, but they weren't following the essence of what Christ was calling them to do, to seek the stranger, to welcome the outcast, to reach out in need. And so they were really following the words on the page instead. I think sometimes we see, you know, as Christians, we look at the words of a particular translation, but if we go back to see what the original Greek and Hebrew meant, that makes a world of difference. So the result of them following the Old Testament scriptures to a T was that they excluded their neighbor. They actually caused harm. They were going against what the scriptures were all about. And in the case of our parable, it was probably even a fellow Jew who was in need that they rejected. So when we hear the parable of the Good Samaritan, you know, I think we often ask, who is my neighbor? I often think, who out there is my neighbor? And, you know, that's always the way I've thought about it. Who could I recognize as my neighbor that I don't normally accept or enjoy being around, or who do I need to help or provide assistance to? Because when Jesus asks, who is my neighbor, he says in a roundabout way that the Samaritan was. The person that you've rejected for centuries and don't know why. The person that you've shunned because they worship differently than you. The Samaritans are your neighbor. This is the essence of this scripture. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength and your neighbor as yourself. Do this and you'll live. Because eternal life, heaven, the kingdom of God, whatever we call it, this is an experience to a certain extent today when we share the love of Jesus. You know, as we know, this is what we try to do here at Broadway United Methodist Church, is to ask, who is my neighbor? Who needs help? Who needs love? Or who's been rejected from someone else? And I just am proud of what we do. I believe that God is blessing us in our effort. Jesus would ask us to be less concerned with the so-called sin of others and to be more concerned with the log right here. I think Jesus would have us ask, well, what if Christians would spend more time asking ourselves, how could we love more with our God, with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and especially our neighbor as ourselves? But yet, one thing that really stands out to me in this scripture is that, well, in so many words, Jesus said the Samaritan is the lawyer's neighbor. And he asked outright in verse 36, which one of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man in the ditch? You see, did you catch that? It wasn't, rather than to tell the lawyer outright that his neighbor was out there or someone else, Jesus really turned the tables and he said, which one of these was a neighbor to the man in the ditch? In other words, maybe our question this morning when we read the Good Samaritan isn't so much about who is my neighbor, but instead, am I the neighbor? Am I the neighbor? I really think that's what Jesus was really asking. Don't look out there, you know, look out there and find out who your neighbor is, but really consider too, are we being the neighbor ourselves? A child of the 1980s, I grew up watching Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood on PBS. Mr. Rogers was an ordained Presbyterian minister whose calling was creating what he called wholesome television for decades. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was on TV from 1969 to 2001, and the basic theme was about being a neighbor. He called his television audience television neighbors, and he would take us on little trips all throughout the neighborhood. You know, we'd see the baker, and but then do all little things. He had the neighborhood of make-believe, you all remember. And then he would, but he always had a big theme that he would talk about, like death or divorce or handicaps or racial inequality. In a time where these things really weren't talked about much on TV. Those of us who grew up watching Mr. Rogers on TV remember how he always made everybody that he met in person feel special and loved. He'd say, I love you just the way you are. And he sing songs like, I'm proud of you and it's you that I like. And though he never mentioned Jesus or God in any of the broadcasts that I remember watching, still, it wasn't explicit, but it was implicit in his work. I believe that Jesus's teachings of the Good Samaritan were played out in Fred Rogers' career on television. And he really taught us that how can we ourselves act as a neighbor to others? Well, lest we make this scripture only about us today, I want to finish by taking this just a step further. Our theme today, our series is called Ditch Your Capes. This is a series that the Missouri Conference has designed, and as part of a grant that our church is receiving in the amount of $10,000 for our children's ministries. They have asked us to preach a few series that are along the themes of what our whole message of reaching out into our community is all about. And they call this Ditch Your Capes because they want us to really put our Jesus glasses on and see what God is doing for us. And so we don't have to be a superhero. We read this Good Samaritan a lot and we think, I've got to be a superhero. But really, this is first and foremost about what God is doing for us in Jesus. You see, Jesus is talking about himself here as the Good Samaritan. Like Jesus taught the lawyer in our lesson today, that eternal life is found when you love God first and you share that love with others. It was Jesus who first did this by loving the outcast, by loving the sinner, the rejected, and the lost. Jesus put each one of us first in his life and ministry and in his suffering and death on the cross. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus shows us what being a good Samaritan is all about, giving us grace when we are undeserving, reaching out and pulling us out of the ditch, and reminding us first, we don't have to be a superhero. I mean, all of you all, it just seems like whatever ministries that you're involved in, so much is doing good, and you're doing superhero work, but it's ordinary things throughout your day. In all these different ministries that we have as a church. And so I believe that when Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, as we wait for the kingdom to come, we see glimpses of it every day. You see, Jesus was telling a parable about many things, but also first and foremost about himself, like the Samaritan. Like the Samaritan, Jesus had been rejected by those in his day, but he's shown mercy to each one of us when we find ourselves in the ditch. Jesus was telling a parable about his love and how he has reached out to each one of us through the power of God. And so, you know, whatever you're struggling with today, you know, I don't know all of it, but I know it just seems like each and every one of us have something big that we're dealing with. Wherever you feel lost or rejected or hurt or where you're healing, know this story is about a God who loves you, about a God who cares for you, and who suffered and went through, you know, death on the cross and everything that we go through so that we might truly live. We've been rescued out of the ditch. That's another lesson for us. Well, I believe that as Christ followers, each one of us have been given people in our lives that God is calling us to love and bear witness to. It seems like our world is so polarized. It seems like our world is tragically broken in so many ways. Jesus asked not so much who out there is your neighbor, but which one of us, how can we go out and be a neighbor ourselves? Well, just like the Samaritan who was rejected helping the rejected, Jesus does so much the same. How can we, in each one of our lives, really mimic that? We don't have to be a superhero. We can just, as we are in all the places that we find ourselves in work, in our home, in our clubs and recreation, in all of these places, it's often in the small things that shows people the love of Christ. And again, I just am so proud of this church and all the ways that we share the love of Jesus and as we really go out into the world and to share and to be a neighbor. So let's keep doing this in the name of Christ. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for your calling upon our life to go be a neighbor. Help us to recognize the needs around us, whether they be large or small, and to share your love with all that we meet. Bless us, encourage us, strengthen us for this work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.